Welcome to this message from Shofar Christian Church. May you experience God's grace as you listen to this word being preached.
I just want to end off with what I started last week on the joy of following Jesus. Tell someone next to you there's a joy in following Jesus. No, you've got to say it with real excitement. There's a joy in following Jesus. Amen. By the way, is there anyone, no one visiting us for the first time, eh? All of you guys are, yeah. I thought Donna brought someone in that was new, but good to see you, Donna. We're a people made for pleasure, isn't that so? Have you ever thought about that? As people we're made for pleasure, right? So either we seek pleasure or joy or excitement or happiness in the world or in stuff that can make us happy, or we find it in Christ and in following Him. So we're going to seek pleasure somewhere. Sorry, you can't get away from it. Those of you who think, no man, I don't need pleasure in my life. You're going to need pleasure in your life. And that's why the world is finding pleasure in sexual stuff, in drinking, in drugs, and in fulfilling themselves, because while they don't find pleasure in who they are, because first of all, they don't know really who they are, that they're loved by God, or they don't know why they're here. So they find pleasure. So all of us are going to find pleasure somewhere. You agree with me? So I believe God is calling us to find pleasure in Him, in following Him. Amen. Knowing Him and following Him. Jesus was full of joy because it says here, as I shared last week, that there was a joy that was set before Him in Hebrews 12 verse 2. He endured the cross. He went through it because why? He found joy in what He had come to do. He found joy in who He was as the Son of God, but He came to find joy in the purpose that He was called for. And Jesus is calling us, guys, to find joy in who we are in Him, but in also what we're called to do. So I believe there's two things where we need to find joy, and that is, and it's all in Christ, but it's in who we are in Christ, and in our salvation, and in God's presence, but then it's also in what we're called to do. So last week we looked at three things. We started to share about what is the joy that is set before us. So there's three things I've put up there. Number one is the joy of eternal life. You can put it on the PowerPoint. Does it not want to show the big one? They just show it like that, that's fine. You can all see. We'll sort the PowerPoint out sometime. But there's a joy that is set before us. The first joy is that of our salvation. Sometimes we've got to thank God again for the fact that we're saved. Amen. We've got to revisit our salvation every day, actually, and say, thank you, Lord, that I'm your child. Thank you that I'm saved. Thank you that I'm chosen by you, called by you, that I have eternal life, not only one day, but now. I can have eternal life now. So I want you to just quickly close your eyes for a moment and just thank the Lord for your eternal life. Just quickly, right now. Thank Him for the fact that you're saved. And I hope that you're sure you're saved. If you're not, then I would love to pray with you. So thank the Lord for your eternal life. Thank the Lord that you have life in abundance right now. And then with that, if you know Jesus, if you know that you're saved and that you're going to heaven and that you can follow Him, then thank Him also for the joy of His voice and His presence in your life. Last week we looked at that scripture in John where it says, my sheep hear my voice. Jesus said, if you're one of my followers, you can hear me. So thank Him for the joy of His voice in our lives and His presence in our lives. Like Boots just shared, in His presence there's everything. Eternal life starts in His presence, but there's so much more than just being saved. There's a life of sanctification, a life of abundance, a life of overcoming, a life of provision, a life of blessing upon blessing, despite what life throws at us. Amen. The joy of being with God, His voice and His presence. Number three starts to a little bit go away from just who you are, but what you've been called to do. Why are you here? You've been called to lay down your life for other people. Jesus said in John chapter 15, and we started with that last, or we ended with that last week, and I just want to continue a little bit with that this week again, just to remind us of what Jesus has called us to do. He said, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. Amen. There's a way that your joy can, or that Jesus' joy can remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And then he goes on, he says, and he's talking here about being connected with him and with his people. And that's why it's so important. When we follow Jesus, we need to be connected with him and his spirit, but then we need to be connected with his people. And then he goes on and he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Our love for Jesus is going to be measured in our love for people. It's difficult for some of us to realize that, because we want a personal relationship with Jesus outside of the body of Christ, outside of people. And it's sad, the devil loves to offend people out of church and out of the kingdom ultimately, but it's out of relationship with people. And we cannot have a relationship with the head instead of, and not have a relationship with the body, that we are the body of Christ. And it's sad when people are offended with church and with God's people, and it's there, maybe it's rightfully so, but they can't stay offended, they have to deal with it. And maybe you're at that place where you've been hurt by people, by especially believers, that we need to deal with it and say, Lord, I cannot distance myself from the body, because the only way I'm going to find fullness of joy is in you and in loving other people. Amen. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So I want you to challenge yourself in this and to say to the Lord, Lord, sometimes I don't find joy in you because it's only about me and you. And the Lord says, I'm trying to show you, it's not only about me and you, it's about others. And I walked with the Lord for 9 years of my life, from 1992 until 2001, 9 years, where it was just about me and Jesus. And I remember at the end of my time, before I got filled with the Holy Spirit and realized that I've got a calling, it was frustrating. I hit the ceiling. I hit this frustration point with the Lord where it can't just be about me and Jesus anymore. Jesus has called me to be a blessing. Jesus has called me to, but not in my own strength. Because I was in a church and I was serving and I was like doing a lot of stuff for the Lord. The Lord called me back to him, that place of peace and intimacy. And then he said, go and lay down your life for other people. You see, what steals our joy is when we compare ourselves to others instead of loving and serving people. Then what we do, we start to compete with them. We start to try to justify our own existence by looking at other people instead of serving out of a place of laying down our lives. This week, someone sent me a clip of someone, a mother, talking about the Lord showing her an amazing comparison or an analogy about what God, between us and God. So she gave her son, a little son, a piece of dried sausage. And she saw the son was so full of joy when he received this piece of dried sausage that he was like, you couldn't believe he'd received this blessing. And then she told him, okay, give your siblings a piece of dried sausage. And that little piece for the siblings was a little bit longer than the piece that the boy had. And she saw how his face just dropped, like so disappointed. And she says, my boy, but why are you so disappointed? You were so filled with joy. You were so happy and excited about this piece of dried sausage. And now, as soon as I give your brothers and sisters a piece of dried sausage, you're comparing that dried sausage that you have to theirs, and suddenly your joy is lost. And isn't that so? When we get given something by God, it's like we excited about this gift, then we compare ourselves to another person with a similar gift, and it's like that gift looks bigger, that present looks bigger, and then we lose our joy. Why? Because we're looking away from what we've been given to what other people have. And so comparison is the theft of joy, or the thief of joy. Comparison steals our joy if we don't look at what God has given us and use it also to be a blessing for other people. That little boy could have been joyful if he had realized, hey, my calling is to give a piece of dried sausage to my siblings. What a blessing to be the instrument of giving. Instead of, look at what I've got, look at what they've got. Then there's no blessing in giving anymore. Because we worried about our own gift sometimes and comparing it. Instead of saying, hey, I've got my blessing, so let me bless others. Even if the thing I must have is there to give away, let me give it away to others. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. God is calling us, friends, to really lay down our lives for one another. So seek opportunities in this time where there's a lot of opportunities for giving, because it's supposed to be the season of giving. But how many times do we focus on our own self instead of saying, Lord, there's so many others that have got nothing. Yes, maybe I haven't got what someone else has got. Maybe my Christmas isn't as big and as expensive as someone else's, but I can still be a blessing. I can still give something to someone because hey, I've got Jesus. And I can even tell them about Jesus, the greatest gift. But let's lay down our lives for one another. Let's serve one another. Let's use this opportunity, even when we're not gathering, you know, as regularly as we would in the next few months. Let's still gather to one another. Let's still reach out one on one if possible. Let's reach out to those who are struggling. But there's a joy in laying down our lives. Amen. There's a joy in serving, and sometimes you feel like you're struggling, and then you say, God, fill me up again. I remember when I was serving in Stellenbosch Shofar I was also at the, doing the ushering, welcoming people in, and sometimes it was twice on a Sunday, it was like, and I'm working from 8 to 5, I've got not as maybe a corporate job, but I was busy, I had a lot of stuff happening, and on a Sunday, I've got to, once a month, I'm on duty, and there was a time when I was thinking, oh Lord, this is too much. It's like, can I not just have my Sunday off? And I remember going to, on the way to church, just saying, Lord, my heart isn't always in this. But Lord, give me the strength. And I tell you, every single time that happened, I got to church and it was the most blessed service to just be there and welcome people into the church. Just have that joy of seeing lives change, seeing people come to Jesus, seeing people enjoy God's presence. Even though for me it was like, maybe I'd rather be at home today. Maybe I'd rather just skip the service. But the joy of laying down, the Lord told me something. He taught me something of endurance, something of pushing through, something of saying, it's not always nice, it's not always easy, but there's still a joy to lay down my life for others. And I want to thank you guys for this year. I want to thank you for being here today, for pushing through. Many of you have been praying, Peter and Talita, some of you guys, Abu Kire, guys, been praying week in and week out, coming to the prayer meetings. When I know if at times for you it was also like, Maybe I must just skip this one. Some of you on duty here, Johan, serving at the ushering, serving here. And I'm not only talking about church. I'm talking just wherever you've served, where we haven't seen, where no one has seen. Because you haven't been on a duty list. You haven't, it's not been a duty list for you. But sometimes you felt, hey, that I am dying to my flesh. And that's good. Your flesh must die. Sometimes the flesh must die when we serve. But it must be a joy to lay down our lives for other people. And let's live a lifestyle of it. Let's not do it out of works. Let's not do it to tick the box. Let's say, Lord, it's a joy. It's a lifestyle of laying down my life for another person. And then the fourth thing that Jesus is calling us to have joy in, that is to become like Him. And when we saved and we experience the joy of His eternal life, when we have the joy of His presence and His voice, and we start to lay down our lives for others, guess what? Then we start to become like Him. Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, He said to His disciples, follow me and I will make you become. And I look at the fishes of men now. That's the last point this morning, this afternoon. But I want to focus on what Jesus said. He said, I will make you become. I'm going to change you into something that you weren't before. He comes to these guys who are fishermen. He said, I'm going to not make you a better fisher of fish. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to turn your calling into something totally different. I'm going to make you become something. And there's a joy in becoming like Jesus, isn't that so? There's a joy in changing. Anyone here happy with same old, same old? Please put up your hand and say, you are happy to stay exactly like you are and you're so happy with your life. You see, no one wants to stay the same. But yet in us, we actually sometimes struggle with change, isn't that so? Anyone here, be really honest now, you want to change, but you struggle a bit with change, just be honest, like, you know, change is stressful, right? Ask someone who has to move places, you've got to move, pack up all your stuff and go, it's stressful. It's the most stressful thing apart from dealing with death, apparently, is moving, like physically locating, relocating to some place. Change is not easy. Why? Because we get stuck in a routine and it's comfortable because we're not stretched. But you move and you go. And I tell you, I'm thankful to my wife for moving with me to Pretoria from Stellenbosch and then a year and a half later here to Bloemfontein. It was tough, two moves within a year and a half. It was like, it wasn't easy. Luckily at that stage, we just had, when we left Stellenbosch to Pretoria, it was, we didn't have kids, and we left Pretoria to Jack. We had Matthew, who was 9 months old, so it was a bit easier to move with a very small baby, but move with bigger kids that are in school, and it's not easy. But I think if we can make peace with the fact that Jesus doesn't always call us to move physically, but he calls us to change within us, amen. Calls us to change within us. And so I want you to make a peace with the fact that it's a blessing, it's a joy to change. It's a joy to become something that you weren't before. And so in James chapter 1, and this is the scripture, if you guys remember, when lockdown happened, this is the scripture I shared for about 15 minutes, the first online video that I did. I'll never forget this scripture because it was like new stuff. It was like dying to self, having to speak to a camera. Because, you know, church is online now. But I'll never forget this message. And I believe it was a message profound for the times we were going in. Because it says the following. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Did you remember that, Boots? We still said we're going to go through the book of James at the time. It was end of March. And we were anyway going to go through the book of James. And so I went through this for a few weeks, 2 weeks or so. Three weeks maybe, the book of James. But this was the first scripture that came to mind. And it was amazing because, yeah, we're falling into the trial of this pandemic. COVID happened. It's like, hectic. How long is this going to be? And yeah, we are many months later looking back on lockdown, thinking, we've made it. But count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your patience, of your faith, produces patience. You see, it's a joy to change. When Jesus says, come, follow me, and I'm going to make you become something totally different, he's like, he's serious, and then he's going to take us through trials. And we've been talking about that a lot in the last while. It feels like the suffering for the glory of God, and challenges and trials and tribulations. It's important that we go through it. I shared this morning at Genesee. I'll share the story now. In fact, Boots or Abagili or Karina, one of you guys, you must please come and share what the Lord did at Genesee hospital this morning, if you don't mind, if some of you want to just now. But I shared with the girls, I said that, you know, sometimes we just want to be in this place where nothing is challenging. That the Lord takes us through trials. Sometimes we're at this place where we fear death. Oh, sorry, the shadow of death more than death itself. Sometimes we're at this place where we have to deal with the shadow of death. And I was talking about the story and talking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, just like I shared at the combined service a while ago. Sometimes we have to deal with the shadow of death and the fear of death and not death itself. And that changes us, that produces in us a resilience. Jesus came and he overcame in the garden so that he could overcome in the grave. He overcame the fear of death, that shadow, and he sweated blood, and he had to overcome that in order to overcome death itself. And it's the testing of our faith that when we fall into various trials, then fear comes and knocks at our door. When we shaken a little bit and we know change is here, then we're afraid. We're afraid of change. We're afraid of growing many times. And Jesus says, don't do that. Don't be afraid. Count it all joy. So tell somebody next to you, count it all joy. Because there's a joy in why. It's not about the trial, or it's not about what's going to happen. It's about you becoming more like Jesus. Amen. So see it like that. See it that your growth is more about becoming like Jesus, growing up into Christ. Because your faith, the testing of your faith is going to produce patience in you. Patience is going to have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete. That is what Christ wants us to become. Mature in him. So I want you to make a peace with the fact that, in fact, it's a joy. It's not just a survival thing. It's a joy to grow. And many times we, as people, what do? We just want the process finished because we want the joy at the end. We want the joy of the Christ likeness, but he says, count it all joy, even during the trials. Count it all joy, knowing that there's something happening. So don't wait for it, you know, because then we're in survival mode, isn't that so? And sometimes, even with this pandemic, all we want to do is just start a new year. All we want to do is have things, yes, we know there's a reset button, but can't this reset button just be pressed and the process finished and let's go on? And then we've missed the point. We've missed the point of the process. We've missed the point of becoming like Christ. Because it's a process. It's not just a quick fix. And how many of us want quick fixes? Most of us do because we're comfortable. But there's a process of becoming like Jesus. And so when he said, follow me, that's what he said. It's going to be a joy. It's not going to be easy. But you're going to learn to have joy in trials and tribulations. And you're going to be an incredible testimony to someone who needs to know Jesus. So count it all joy when you become like Christ. And in this process, what is God calling us to do? He's not calling us just to be with him. He says, be with me all the time, but don't stay with me in a comfort zone. Go with me. Amen. So the last thing, and this is what I really want to focus on this evening and leave you with as a focus for next year, and we shared this on the camp, and I believe God is calling us, guys, to find joy in making disciple makers. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
The greatest joy is not just to have eternal life for yourself, not just to have God's voice and his presence for yourself, not just to become like Christ and to be changed and to be, you know, lay down your life for other people, just for yourself. He wants you to let other people experience all of these things. Eternal life, his voice and his presence, laying down their lives and becoming like Christ. He wants you to find joy in seeing others doing the same. Amen. So he says here to his disciples, his last commandment should be our first priority. We've heard that a lot of times. Jesus' last commandment should be our first priority. And his first commandment, or his primary commandment, is to love God. But he also said, go and love other people. Go and let other people experience my joy. So it's love God, that's who you are in Christ, that's you and God. But then he says, love other people, that's why you're here, what you're called for. Each one of us, friends, have been called to make disciple makers. Make other people make disciples. In other words, don't just make a disciple maker. And I know the Bible says make disciples, but what a disciple is someone who leads someone else to Christ. He says in Matthew chapter 28, the famous scripture that we all know off by heart, but do we really know what it means? And he says here, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. At the camp, I shared this story of a guy who writes this as follows. He says, a few years ago, I heard one of the most life-changing sermons preached on the Great Commission by Dr. Kenan Vaughan. Focusing on the word go in Jesus' command in Matthew chapter 28, Dr. Vaughan said the following, the word go will unlock the meaning for us as to when we are to carry out the Great Commission. So I want to ask you, when do you think you must carry out the Great Commission? One day? When you're on a mission trip, like, you know, Uganda didn't happen this year, so hey, we're going to go to Uganda next year, so we'll go to Uganda and make disciples. Maybe you think that, or maybe I'll wait till next year, you know, it's a bit tough now. Let's just take a break, you know. Let's go next year. And he says the following, he says, the word go literally means having gone. Go is not a command. Jesus is not commanding them to go as much as he's saying, having gone, turn many into disciples. The going is assumed. In other words, Jesus is saying, having gone from you, as we go, as you go, turn men into disciples. Jesus didn't go more than 200 miles away from his own hometown, and yet he's saying, go and make disciples of all nations. And I would venture to say, Jesus is the greatest disciple maker in the history of the world. It wasn't about how far he went, it was about what he did while he was going. The same is true for you and me. I don't know about you, but until a few years ago, this guy writes, he said, I never heard the Gospel Commission preached like this. As you are going, make disciples. That changes everything, he said. While God may indeed be calling you to change your vocation or your location, that is certainly not the requirement for fulfilling the Great Commission. The truth is that Jesus has called each and every one of us to be a full-time missionary. Say to someone next to you, a full-time missionary. So Vian, that means for you. Lana, that means for you guys. In your schools, you guys can go. Isn't that so? It's not about age. It's not about how big or how small or how fat or how thin or how intellectual or not intellectual. It's not about anything on the outside. It's about our heart to just go for Jesus. Amen. The truth is that Jesus has called each and every one of us to be a full-time missionary, making disciples as we go throughout our work and our lives. When we understand that work is inherently good and meaningful, that the calling of the clergy is no higher than the calling of the congregation, and that Jesus has commanded us to make disciples as we are going throughout life, that changes everything. Now, it doesn't matter what your job title is, you are commanded to make disciples. It doesn't matter if you live in New York or New Delhi, you are commanded to make disciples. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor, a student, a business person, a stay-at-home mom, an accountant, a barista, or an artist, you are commanded to make disciples. Not at some point in the distant future, not when you retire from your current vocation, not just on the next short-term missions trip. Today, you are a full-time missionary. What an awesome privilege. What an incredible responsibility. It's a joy to go for Jesus. It's a joy to make disciple makers. So our vision, our local vision here, we put it up there. If you go to the next slide, the Shofar Bloemfontein local vision is as follows. We're continuing with the whole theme of grow, but what are we growing towards? We're growing as disciple makers who love God and love people. That is our focus of our lives, and I want you to make that the focus of your life, not because it's Shofar Bloemfontein or Shofar or any church's mission. It's because it's Jesus' mission. Amen. Jesus has commanded us because he said there's a joy that you're going to be missing out on. If it's just but you and me and my presence, then it's awesome. But there's some part of the joy of knowing God that you're going to miss out on, the joy of going and making disciple makers. Can I have an amen? There's a joy in making disciple makers. There's a joy in living for the cause of Christ, to see the world changed for his glory. And there's a lot of stuff to do out there, but I believe that us as a church and us as believers, we should make our main focus to make disciple makers. As much as you want to do a lot of other stuff, that's good. And we can do activism, and we can do a lot of stuff to change the world. We can feed the poor. We mustn't not do that stuff. We should look after orphans and widows. We should do that. But I believe our primary reason for living should be to go and make disciple makers, followers of Christ. Because hey, we can feed the poor, and if the poor don't know Jesus, they're just gonna be fed for a lifetime, and they're gonna be fed fire for eternity in heaven, in hell. So we can do a lot of good works, and I'm not saying we must please go and feed the poor, don't get me wrong. But you understand what I mean? We need to have a holistic approach. We need to ultimately, whatever we're doing, get as many people closer to Christ and following Christ as possible. What is a disciple maker? A disciple maker is someone who follows Jesus and leads others to follow Jesus. Amen. It's someone who follows Jesus and leads others to follow Jesus. That is the definition of a disciple maker. Someone who follows Jesus and leads others to follow Jesus. So there's three aspects in this whole scripture in Matthew 28. Three things that we must do. Doing words, verbs. Number one is going. I want you to make a commitment to the Lord and say, Lord, as you are calling me, I just want to go. I'm going to go. It's not about doing. It's just about going with you. It's about moving. It's literally about getting up from here and starting to move. Don't be still. That's what Jesus said. Come and follow me. In other words, it's a moving. It's a getting up from your chair. So I want you just to quickly get up from your chair and just take a step like that. Just as a symbolic act. Like get up and just like start moving, you know. Awesome. Okay. So guys, I tell you, I don't want you to strive. I don't want you to do this out of because of Alistair's preached a sermon and he's psyching us up to go. It's not about that. It's about a lifestyle of just taking that step. Every morning when you get out of bed, it's like putting on my running shoes. It's just that, you know, you do it because you love doing it. You take that step out and you take that next step and you start running and your lungs get fit and your body, you love it. When I can't run, it's terrible for me. But it should be the same for us to make disciples. We should be, if I'm not making disciples today, I'm like, hey, I'm not fulfilling my purpose. Amen. Get up every day and say, I'm going to take that step. So think about that. Make a commitment to write it on your wall or whatever and say, Lord, today I'm going to go make disciple makers. I'm going to go lead someone closer to you. I'm going to go bless someone. I'm going to inspire someone to follow Jesus. So the going is so important, the go, and all of you guys can do that. I believe if you said yes to Jesus, what is he going to say? Just go. I'll teach you as you go. But go. So that's the first thing you need to do is go. The second thing that the God says we must do is baptize people. So there you need a little bit of teaching. You need a little bit of equipping to possibly baptize someone. You know, you're not going to necessarily let a guy who was baptized yesterday baptize someone tomorrow. You can do that. There's nothing wrong with it. But, you know, you need to know, what are you baptizing? Who are you baptizing? Why are you baptizing this? Maybe you need a little bit of teaching. But you don't need much. If you are baptized and you understand exactly why you're baptized, yes, you can baptize someone. So we need to baptize someone. We need to lead people to Christ. We need to see people get saved. And that's what we did in our training, you know, when the guy ended up coming into the last training session. But I believe God did his work. I mean, there were seeds sown. And the devil wasn't happy with what we were doing. That's why he sent that guy that night to like try and discourage us. But hey, we're not discouraged. We want to go more for Jesus. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who don't need repentance. There's more joy in heaven when we see people come to Christ. Amen. And I'm not talking about totally lost people. I'm talking about even religious people that really have an encounter with Christ. We don't have to say, oh, the whole of Bloemfontein is saved. The whole of Bloemfontein is definitely not saved. Maybe people are in church, but I can tell you some people aren't even saved. There's some people that are in church that aren't saved. But we're only going to know that when we build relationship with people. So how are we going to get the lost saved? Through relationship, through your connections with the people around you. So they'll say, Lord, today I'm going to pray for these people. And that's why prayer is so important, guys. It all starts with prayer. We haven't even talked about that now. I'm just sharing just some stuff. But pray before you do this. Pray. Because if you're going to go speak to people about God before speaking to God about people, you're going to offend people. You're going to hurt people. But speak to God about people and then go speak to people about God. Amen. So pray for the lost, pray for those people. But Lord said, Lord, these connections that I have, hey man, if someone can just come to you, Jesus, that doesn't know you, ask them in your res or where you're staying or where you work, ask them who knows Jesus. One, don't like shout out in front of all the people, just say to them, did you really know Jesus? Are you following him? Not just know about him, do you really know him? There's a joy in heaven over one sinner. And disciple making starts by leading someone to follow Christ. That's where it starts. And there's more joy in doing that and in baptizing people. And you know, people can make commitments on paper. They can respond to an altar call. But you know where I measure the commitment is through baptism. That's what Jesus said. Don't get people saved. Get people baptized. When I think back and I look at my swimming pool, I'm just reminded of many people who got baptized. It's so nice to have my office there looking over my swimming pool, because then I see that was a baptism place. That is still a baptism place. That's where we can see lives change. The last one we baptized was Anka that leads worship here sometimes. It was so amazing to see the journey Anka walked to get baptized. But how powerful is it when we see, when we saw, what's his name, we got baptized at Sierra Dama. Christian, it was so nice to just, that's why I just said, hey, I told my family, love kids, we're going to witness a baptism. Why? Because there's a joy. There's a joy to see someone repenting, someone who realizes I'm laying down my life fully for Christ. There's nothing better than that. Guys, and we don't have to wait for, it's not my job to baptize people. It's your job. Amen. I must equip you in order to baptize people. Yes, I'll baptize people, but I can tell you, I want you guys to baptize people. Why? Because there's a joy. I don't want you to miss out, because I love it, but I don't want to be the only one to do it. I want you to go baptize people, and if you're following Christ and you were baptized, you can baptize someone. You can lead someone to Christ, and let's make it a big thing next year. Let's say, Lord, we're gonna trust you for baptisms next year, because that's someone who's decided to follow Jesus, not just to make a commitment because, you know, I got psyched up and there was an altar call, and that's good. God saves people there, but the true commitment in the disciple-making commission is to go and then to baptize people. The last one he said is to teach. And this is where you need a little bit of equipping, because you, in order for you to teach, you need to be taught. Amen. You need to come to Bible school. You need to do the encounters. You need to be equipped to follow Jesus and teach others to follow. And that's where God has spoken to me clearly about the whole thing of equipping. We need to equip people. And that's why we started the evangelism equipping. But there's a lot of equipping we still need to do. We need to equip people in order to equip people. Amen. We need to equip teachers to be teachers and to equip people. If I'm doing all the teaching here, I have failed. We have failed. But these teachers in this room, I know Garrick is an anointed teacher. Garrick's gifting and his passion is teaching. So guess what? We need to get Garrick to teach, you know. We need to get Hardus and Martel, whoever else, Boots is also a teacher. Some of you are gifted teachers, better than me. And so we need to teach, we need to have equipping evenings, equipping times where, and we, guys, we mustn't make it formal. It mustn't only be formal, it must be a lifestyle of teaching, sitting with someone and just leading them closer to Christ through the scriptures, unpacking the scriptures. Go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. The joy of making disciple makers. And I want to encourage you guys with this. I'm going to end off with this before we just close and have some fellowship. I remember when Matthew was conceived. That I'll never forget that morning or that afternoon. I got back from work. My wife says, sit down. I'm like, yo, okay, this is not, sounds tense. Now she wants me to sit down on the couch. And she tells me, I'm pregnant. There was not a smile on my face immediately. Because okay? I just realized my life is never going to be the same again. My comfort zone has just been shaken. But the next day, I was excited, okay? What am I trying to say to you? You're never going to be ready to be a dad, to be a disciple maker. You're never going to be ready. There's going to be a time when the Lord says, there's a baby on its way. There's a little disciple being born here. It's time for you to be a dad and be a mom in the spirit. And you're never going to feel, you're going to feel so ill-equipped. You're going to feel like, no, let's wait 5 years again. I tell you, you're never going to be ready. And I'm so thankful. And we said, you know, we agreed. It wasn't a surprise in terms of we like, you know, we don't want to have a kid now. We said yes, but I was like hoping, yes, maybe it takes long to fall pregnant. So I've got more time to breathe and just to get ready. So stupid, you know. Because I would have never been ready. I would have taken 5 more years. I would have still not been ready. But you know when I was ready to be a dad? When he came out and the nurse said, Iso Papa, how fast, how fast? Didn't know how to hold the screaming baby with a head full of blood and all that. The other nurse is so excited for me, I'm like dying. But I tell you, when I held him, tears came to my eyes and I realized I'm a dad. Because when he's inside the tummy, it's all the wife's problem, you know. But now he's outside, so it's also my problem, you know. And what a blessing to have 3 kids. What a blessing to see them becoming like Christ. Guys, it's not only for people to have natural kids. We're not supposed to only have natural kids. Natural kids are good, but we're supposed to have many more than just a few natural kids. We're supposed to even adopt kids. Some of you are called to adopt orphans. But some of you are called to make spiritual children. Like now, God is saying it's time for you to be a dad and a mom in the spirit. Amen. And I can tell you tonight, you're going to feel like you're not ready. But I'll tell you, when God says you're ready, just receive it. When there's a surprise and God says, come, Holy Spirit says, come sit down. You know what? You're pregnant. It's time to be a mom and a dad in the spirit. There's conception. There's babies being born. And I want to just quickly, who wants to share? I'm going to give you Boots, Karina. Anyone want to share what about Janice this morning? And just your experience of it all. Who of you want to share? If you don't want to, it's fine. But does anyone want to share?
Amen. I'm always excited to share the experiences with God. It's great being on the move, for real. It's really great being part of what God is doing. You know, if you want to start moving, find someone who's moving that you can move with. You know, like Alistair for me is moving. You know, and it's great being under him and just moving with him, because it keeps me on my toes, it keeps me ready. There's lots of growth, you know. There are challenges, but it's growth, you know. It's really exciting, you know. I think there's a verse that says, follow me when I follow Christ. It's a call of someone who said that. So find somebody who's following Christ that you can hold, be accountable to, and start moving. Because, yeah, so basically, this morning we went to UNEC. Actually, in my mind, I shared this. But it's like, does anybody want to come with me? It's like, yeah, I thought we were going to minister into boys. And then until I remembered, UNEC is a girls' school. But I was already hyped up for the guys, you know, because a lot of guys are need nurturing, need word and stuff. So basically, when we got there, it was really great just witnessing what God is doing. I started off just, I was talking with Powder, and Alistair's like, hey, please, can you bring the guitar? And we're actually laughing about it. It's like, I knew him before he had, they should bring it, you know, because you get to know, get to have a relationship with him. I really know what is probably the expectation, because, you know, it's really an amazing relationship. So when we got there, the worship, Alistair shared the message afterwards, and then they just started crying. In the beginning, actually, the I think the hostel mother or something like told us, like, guys, don't feel intimidated. They might try to get you off, but that is the opposite of the way they reacted. You know, like, you expect teenagers, matric high school, you're not really interested. But that was the opposite of what we experienced. Not just one person cried, a lot of them cried. And unfortunately, we are guys, we just, you know, we just wish we had a whole lot of team of ladies who were there just to lay hands on a lot of these girls, you know, and they were just crying. So you can see the pain, you can see, you know, God was just doing a new thing and just delivering a lot of them, you know. And one thing that I've really learned about being in the presence, anybody being in the presence of God, like now, but really just soaked in His presence, you know. And then you come out of His presence and we ask you, how does He look? You won't give us a physical description. Will just give us an emotional experience that you know, a tangible, nobody can take it from you. But you won't say, no, He's white, He's black. No, you'll just see His compassion, His grace, His love, and just being there, His deliverance. I can just share that, His deliverance. And it was really amazing. And my prayer was just, guys, we should be more active. You know, the more we move, the more we engage. It's what I experienced was like, you see a phone, you know, a phone is good. In fact, we even buy the latest software because the latest software can do more. But what we don't realize, and sometimes phones look good, but a phone on itself, it's useless. It needs a signal, and behind the signal there's somebody behind the tower who's currently moving your options, you're doing things, and He's there behind you. So we are like that also in the spirit. Behind people there's a spiritual realm, and to ignore that spiritual realm is to be ignorant of the real powers that are acting, you know. So sometimes we look at people and we think they're fine. I entered that place and the lovely girls, you know, everybody was smart. They were beautiful people, and these people are okay, you know, it's just going to be a casual message, and that's, but it was actually the opposite, because I realized at that time the forces that were acting towards these people. And you can only see that when you're really active and moving in the spirit. You know, sometimes we come, but really there are forces, there are two forces, there's God and the devil who's at work in people's lives. And until you become part of that war, that real war, then you haven't actually, you're not living, you're not excited, you won't feel excited, you know. Sometimes people ask me, how are you doing? I'm always good. I have a lot of problems academically, as everybody has a lot of problems, but I'm so excited with life because there's something real that's given me joy always, and that's being on the move and doing things that really matter. I remember Pastor Hennis was here, and he was like, if you want to be powerful, pray towards the end, you know. Don't pray for people's situations to change, because that doesn't matter. There will always be situations around people's lives. Pray for the deliverance of people's souls.
Amen.
Pray for real things.
Why I also share this, why I want to share this is because there's a need out there. Amen. There's a need out there to make disciple makers. These girls were come, they came up to me afterwards, and Ariana shared, and I also want to thank Ariana. Ariana is our contact there. She, I believe, the Lord obviously opened the door for me, but she said, would you come and minister? And it's, and last time there was also like it was such a blessing, and this time it was just the next level. That's why I knew I need to bring people with, because I knew God wanted to move. And so thanks to Karina and to Abul Gilev. Do you want to come share? Okay. I'd really like you to share your side of it as well.
Okay. So yeah, it's very short, but just basically the Lord in this week, he really spoke to me about even when we are faithless, he remains faithful because that's his character. And you're at Connect Group. Yeah, he was so faithful and things. And then this morning I was there a bit early, and I was kind of in the car, oh my God, what are we gonna do? And I'm not prepared and things, and yeah, he just showed up, and I completely forgot about it. Okay, but yeah, he just showed up. And he just asked for a willing heart and obedience. And I mean, like Alistair said this morning, we don't have to, like, it's on the go. And if we just sit, nothing is gonna happen. So yeah, I just wanted to encourage you to be obedient, and to, even if you don't feel prepared, like when you're there, he gave us the right words, he showed us who to pray for, why to pray for, and those things. So yeah, he remains faithful because that's his character, and we don't have to do it out of our own strength. So, yeah.
Awesome. So who's excited to go for Jesus? So what I want to say is this, Ariana shared with me a message and said these girls want to speak to us, they want to come to our church, the youth are waiting, guys. And who's going to disciple them? Some 80-year-old or 60-year-old or 40-year-old? You guys as students are going to disciple the youth. You're connected with them, you're close to them. I might open the door, I might bring a message, but God hasn't called me to disciple these, to walk a journey with these people necessarily personally. I can't do that. But each one of you guys can walk with one lady. And I'm specifically speaking to the ladies. We're trusting for the guys' boots. You are still a prophesy over you, will minister to guys. In Jesus' name. But the lady, that's where God is opening doors now. They want to come to our church. They're going to come next year. We must be ready, guys. Don't think that you're ill-equipped. You're not. You can impart so much knowledge into some other person. Even if you don't feel spiritually strong, you've walked the road, you've passed matric, you study. You guys that are working, Gary, Karina, Johan, you guys are working, you can impart so much to students or to people that are younger than you. So I want to encourage you, I want to end with a scripture. Paul says to Timothy the following, he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So to make disciple makers, we need to be strong in the grace in Christ Jesus. And then he says the following, he says, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Four generations of disciple makers, Paul, Timothy, many witnesses, faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul, the disciple of Timothy, said to Timothy, you disciple others, faithful men, you find some faithful men and you encourage them to teach others also. Four generations of disciples. God is into generations, guys. Naturally, but also spiritually. He wants you to make a disciple maker, or make a disciple maker, or make a disciple, carry on and on and on until Jesus comes back. There's a joy in making disciples. I want us to stand, and we're just going to commit ourselves to this commission, or to this joy. We're going to finish now, we're not going to sing another song, we're just going to say yes to Jesus today. I want you to say yes just to go, okay? Because I believe you guys have said yes to eternal life. If you need to pray and you feel like you've lost your salvation or lost your first love, I'd love to pray with you. But I believe most of you, all of you, have said yes to eternal life. You're following Jesus. Then you need to say yes to His joy, His voice and His presence in your life, the Holy Spirit permanently with you. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, come and let us pray for you to be filled with the Spirit. You can know His joy and His prayer, His voice and His presence, the joy of His voice and His presence, the joy of eternal life. And then I want to say to you, start to serve. Start to say, Lord, I'm going to lay down my life for other people. I'm going to serve others one-on-one and in groups, wherever I'm going to serve. And Lord, I commit to grow and to become like You. But then, Lord, I commit to go. I believe many of you are at that place where you now, the joy of going is going to be a new thing for you. The joy of stepping out and saying, Lord, I want to go for you. Wherever I go, I want to make disciple makers. I want to make someone closer to Jesus Christ. I want to teach people. I want to equip people. I want to baptize people. Whatever I have to do. But Lord, until you come, that's my life's purpose. That is what I've called to do. As a doctor, as a lawyer, as an engineer, as an accountant, as a housewife, you can go for Jesus. So let's just close our eyes and open our hands. And I want to pray for all of us that we would just be finding joy in making disciple makers, finding joy in becoming like Christ, laying down our lives and making people followers of Jesus. Father, I thank you today for this time in your presence. Thank you for your word now, Lord. And I believe these testimonies and these stories are here to inspire all of us to keep going for you. Some have been going and they're tired. And I pray, Lord, in this time of refreshing, in this time of rest, physically many times, I pray that they would reignite that passion to go for you, Lord, to make disciple makers. I pray in this holiday time, God, where students are finishing and we'll get busy with a lot of other stuff, Lord, I pray that they'll never lose that joy of making disciple makers. I pray, Lord, that this would not be dependent upon whether we have church or not. I pray that this would not be dependent upon whether we have Connect Group or not. I pray, Lord, for a lifestyle of making disciple makers for each one of us, Lord. And I pray that they, each one here would say yes to your calling to go and teach and baptize and lead people closer to you, Jesus. I thank you for that commission right now. I send them, I commission them with your fire, with your power, with your authority. Lord, you said you've given us all authority. Now go. And as you're going, make disciple makers. So I thank you for this time. I thank you for this year, Lord. I thank you that we can end today by saying yes to you, Lord. And just to take that next step, Lord, to take that first step out of our comfort zones into new territory. And we believe we'll break ground for you. And let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in our lives, through our lives, in Jesus' name. Why don't you just receive that now by faith? Just open your heart, open your hands, lift up and say, Jesus, I'm going. I want to go for you, Lord. I want to make disciple makers. Equip me, Lord. I'm ill-equipped. I feel like it's not my calling, Lord, but I know it's a lie. My feelings don't determine your word and your obedience. Lord, I pray right now for each heart to just surrender more and more. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for joy.